Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. My name is Wandile Sishi.
And I'm George Minnie.
And today we have a super, super provocative episode. You know, it's been getting the people going on social media a lot. But before we get into that, how was your week, George?
Week was fine.
Yeah.
No race last weekend.
No race last week.
Race this weekend.
Yes, Silverstone. Where it all started, I think, for the little bit of the beef between.
Yeah, I don't know. Your eyes light up with Silverstone. I think it's because it's British and Hamilton hails from Britain. Yeah,
and we had the crash, the 55G crash last year.
Yep,
which started the beef.
Yeah.
So going back.
When did the halos come in?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah, so 2-3 years ago.
So last year's crash was with the halo, right?
Yes.
The halo saved that crash.
It saved a few people's. No, that crash, just the integrity of the vehicle saved.
Yeah.
But I think it was it Monaco or was it Silverstone where Hamilton threw his car on top of Max's? I think it was...
Max's car on top of Hamilton's.
In Italy, yeah. Was it Italy? Can't remember. Yeah. But halo big
did
part
save,
there,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, that's the crash I'm thinking about.
Yeah, but the 55G crash at Silverstone is when they touched... And Max just went flying into the barrier.
Yes.
Angered a lot of people. But not me.
Imagine 55 Gs.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I'm pretty sure his body didn't sustain 55 Gs, but the car did.
Yeah.
But it just shows you how well those cars are built in being able to sustain 55 Gs.
It's insanity.
I wouldn't imagine that a human body can sustain 55 Gs. I just... No. Yeah.
No, I don't think it's possible. But the vehicle, yeah, I think it's definitely the vehicle that took in a lot of that load.
Yeah.
But let's see what happens. Let's see what happens.
Silverstone.
Moving on. So, like I said, super provocative episode. Something that I think all of us have been worried about. And essentially, today's episode is are fuel-saving devices and additives real? And, you know, it's funny. I recently received a few videos for the last, I think about 3 weeks now, of people saying... If you add this thing to your vehicle, specifically once you're pouring gas, you pour this fluid into your fuel tank, you may get some additional mileage.
When did you become American?
You
just referred to fuel as gas.
Well, it's the second time you say this. I don't know. Fuel, gas, it's all the same.
No, in America they call it gas.
We call it gas,
In South Africa we call it petrol.
No, I think there's a few people
it's
that call
petrol.
It gas.
It's petrol.
Have you seen
what is the slang word for petrol in South Africa?
Gas.
Nah.
It's gas.
Don't even go there. It's not gas. Gas is the stuff that's not liquid.
No, I think a lot of people call it gas as well.
Oh, flip, okay.
Yeah. Have you seen these videos?
No.
Not at all. Not in essentially these videos.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't check. I spend my... trying to spend my time out in the real world because everyone else is in cyberspace.
Well, I mean, they've been doing the rounds and I think a lot of people are actually buying into this, which could be problematic.
What, additives?
Yes.
Fuel additives.
Fuel additives.
Yeah, I'm not sure I believe in them.
So,
and I'll give you the reasons just now.
Okay, so there are proven additives that do work.
Like?
There's a few out there. I don't want to, you know, give names and stuff because I don't want to endorse anything because I've never tried.
Engine is quite simple, right? Yeah. It's complex, but it's quite simple.
Yeah.
You have a combustion chamber with an explosion that pushes a metal round piece, a circular piece of metal up and down that is creating friction against another piece of metal.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so for me, the resistance of those two things,
yes,
and the power output is where the inefficiency is. So for me, anything that can make those two pieces of metal slip past each other quicker, so maybe Teflon, could potentially create fuel efficiency because you're creating less resistance, less friction on the sleeve of the engine and the piston of the engine. So those two slipping, you know, against each other, right? So for me, things like Teflon-based products could do that in oils.
In terms of just making it a little bit more lubricated.
It
a frictionless,
frictionless environment, right? Which you'll never get in an
engine. Internal combustion.
The only place is frictionless environment is in an electric vehicle because
there is no
the rotor doesn't touch the armature.
Yeah.
Or should I say armature doesn't touch the outer electrics, especially in Tesla's vehicles. It's you know, they don't touch each other.
There's an additional component there, though, because with these additives, essentially, a lot of them, what they claim to do is they're changing the composition of the actual liquid.
No, but
so
you
it's
get,
either
you
you're
get
adding oxygen or you're adding, you know, more iron in there. You're ionizing
that's
the
a
system.
Device, though. Okay, yeah. So I'm talking about additives in terms of liquids.
Yeah.
So you can add liquids in two places in the car.
Oil and fuel. Yeah.
Right. So it's that simple.
Yeah.
You can add an additive, put an additive in the oil. Okay. That would reduce the friction because the oil's there. Oil is there fundamentally to reduce the friction. Now, why wouldn't oil companies already have additives like that in their oils?
Well, I mean, when you go from 93 to 95, I'm assuming that's
that's
the processes.
Fuel.
Yeah. In fuel, yeah.
No, I'm talking about oil. So why wouldn't the why?
I'm sure they do exist. It's because, you know, these have been proven. Some of these additives do work in terms of giving you a little bit better economy. Very small. I'm not saying it's like a 50% improvement.
Stop using your brakes as much. You'll save much more fuel.
100%. Yes, but I'm not trying to drive slower. For a lot of people that aren't trying to drive slower, and this is a great example of, you know, an option that you can use.
Like I've done this test in my driving life.
Yeah.
In terms of driving fast, okay, so racing up to a traffic light, racing, you know, not breaking the speed limit, but just kind of being aggressive as you drive.
Yes.
Versus taking it calmly, don't use the brakes as much, coasting to a stop, yeah. That kind of driving style. Maybe you'll. In like a commute between my house and the office, you'll save
maybe
five minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And much more stress.
Yes.
And much more fuel.
Yes.
So an additive to the oil is going to add like a smidgen.
A very, very marginal
improvement 1 minute.
On your economy. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe add like 2 Ks.
Exactly. So I mean, I'm not convinced about these additives and I don't see where the oil companies wouldn't have thought of them, right? So that's my first kind of comment on oil.
Which
additives.
Is fair, right? You would think that an oil company, a Petronas would be
Petronas,
on top of this,
Shell.
This is what they do.
This is what they do now. Like some company's going to come with this magic flipping, I don't know, coating story.
Well, look, that's exactly what the Petronas of the world do, right? And, you know, Lewis's engine is not the same as... Lewis's oil, rather, is not the same as what you probably have in your car.
Oh, so it's not his driving.
There's a lot of things, but it's mostly
his
driving.
You just put his wins down to the oil.
No. It's everything. It's everything wrapped in this beautiful man, LH 44.
There's a bromance going on here.
But yeah, I think that's the difference. And I think some of these additive companies are doing exactly that. Now, these claims that they're making, that's where I have a problem with. And there's an example of a lawsuit that happened a few years ago of a deceptive company that did exactly this. They were claiming 27% better.
Oh, please. I don't believe that for 1 minute.
Better fuel. Well, it was disproven.
What do you mean disproven?
Well, it went to court. The FTC did an investigation into
this. And it wasn't 27%.
And it wasn't 27%. It was barely anything.
I'm not sure you need a court case to prove that.
What do you need? Just common sense?
Common sense.
Yeah.
Oil companies are not going to not do this research.
Of course.
Petronas, Shell, BP, all the oil manufacturers.
Unfortunately, people don't actually do this research, and I think it's important that we do highlight that.
I think that an additive to your oil is going to put a smidgen
of
fuel consumption saving.
Speaking of, so now there are actually real fuel-saving devices. Not
to be
mistaken.
And now we're talking about device, right?
Yes, devices.
Before we get to device, let's talk about additives to the fuel.
Yes.
Okay. So I have the same argument.
As the oil one,
right.
Yeah.
So what do you need to add to the combustion chamber in order to get better fuel consumption, right? You've got to get a bigger explosion that's releasing more energy.
Yes.
With less fuel.
So
okay, so you've got to have higher octane.
Yeah, turbos, superchargers, which pump oxygen essentially.
Well, yeah, turbos. That is a fuel saving device in itself. Okay,
yeah.
But in order to so if you want an added additive to the fuel,
yes, right, to the actual liquid,
to the liquid of the fuel,
gas.
The gas,
to the actual gas. Yes,
if you want to put an additive in the fuel, like in your fuel tank.
Yeah.
First of all, you might be damaging your engine because you're going to create a bigger explosion.
Yes.
Right? And that engine's not designed for that.
It's not designed for that, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so you might be damaging your engine. Mm. So yes, you might get slightly better fuel consumption because you're creating a bigger explosion because you're increasing the octane and the explosibility or the explosiveness of the liquid going into the chamber,
yeah.
Right? But are you damaging your engine and does that cost you in the long run?
So funny story. One of the comments on the video was, I think it was he was an ex-taxi driver.
And I haven't watched this video.
Yes. Well,
South African taxi driver. Minibus taxi driver.
Who was a long-time user of one of these products that have been doing the rounds. Mm. And he says that it does definitely have
some... The fuel additive.
Yes, the fuel additives have an improvement on your economy. However, also budgets for an engine overhaul. So that's kind of the... And I think that's exactly what you're speaking about is, you know, maybe these things do work in terms of making a big explosion, making it more active.
Well, can I tell you when you
need a new engine.
When I was your age, right? Mm. And you're into like fast cars, and not that we're not into fast cars now.
Yeah.
Right. Mothballs.
Yes.
People put mothballs in their petrol tank.
Well, I can't see how that will make any difference.
Apparently, it changes the fuel like explosibility somehow, right?
Yeah.
Ethanol.
Yes.
Putting ethanol in your fuel tank, but what does it do? It's a highly combustible substance.
Yeah.
It just creates a bigger explosion, and it pushes that piston down faster. But it doesn't mean that the engine's not getting damaged.
For sure, I can see how performance
people
can get
better. People put F-gas in their petrol tanks, which is fuel. It's fuel for aircraft.
Yeah,
F-gas is a much higher octane.
Like it's 98 or something.
It's 100. I think it's close to 100 octane. And so F-gas you can put in your tank. You're gonna get you're gonna get more energy released.
For sure.
Is that engine built for it? No.
That's more of a performance thing though.
It's a performance thing, but if you drive nicely with better performance, you're gonna get fuel saving, like a turbo.
Yeah. Okay. It adds up.
Yeah.
So that was the discussion of additives and fuel and oil additives. There are on the markets additionally fuel saving devices.
Okay, so now we're talking about devices.
Devices.
So like electronics.
Hardware that goes additional to what the engine currently has for the purpose of saving fuel.
Okay, so the only ones I can think about in terms of adding devices or electronics
There's a few.
So you've got to change the oxygen mixture in the car.
Okay.
Okay. Or change the fuel mixture of fuel to oxygen. Because to create a different kind of explosion, introduce additives through a device.
Okay.
Okay. Instead of putting it into your fuel, add it in the airflow, or add it into the fuel line.
So essentially, the delivery of
an additive.
Okay.
Okay. Those are the ways in which I think you can change what happens in the combustion chamber.
And that's exactly right. There's different types. There's about 8 most popular ones, but I'm going to go through a list of 3 of the ones that I think are, and you know, on top of that, we spoke about earlier about which fuel and oil additives do work. So the EPA have spoken to some of these. So with regards to fuel and oil additives, tested by the EPA, which is...
Who's the EPA for everyone listening?
So the EPA is Environmental Protection Agency of the US. So they basically test claims, one, and also the damage to the environment. Really.
Okay, so they are environmentalists.
Yes. Well, they more than just environmentalists. I think they...
So are they testing the effectiveness of these products, or are they environmentalists?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Just to make sure that it's to code and the claim is... True.
Substantiated.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to go through the ones that they did spotlight, just because I think it depends where you are, really. But essentially, fuel and oil additives, what they do is they just pour, you can pour them directly into your fuel tank or your oil pan. And, you know, as we've spoken about, will add a marginal difference. But in terms
very
of...
Little. So very, let's just
very
be
little.
Very little.
Less than
10%.
Very 10%
even high.
Yes.
Less. Like these additives, they don't change the world. Your driving style will change it significantly compared to these additives, in my opinion.
I agree 100%. The next one that you can get is fuel and engine ionizers. So what this does here is basically it's the delivery process of the actual fuel. And it basically what they do is they create an ionic field around the oil, and it just essentially makes the combustibility of it a little bit better.
Fuel or oil?
Oil.
Oil, okay.
So this is fuel ionizers, not oil.
Not oil, okay. Because, you know, obviously oil is not burning in your engine unless you've got a problem with your engine, then you can, you know,
correct,
burn oil and yes, the white stuff will come out the back.
With regards to fuel ionizers, though, a lot of companies are doing that. They're adding these things before you even have to go and add an additional aftermarket part. So it's really
OEMs adding it.
OEMs. It's really part of the process. So, you know.
And are they proven to work?
They are proven to work. But once again, it's a very small thing. It's a small marginal difference. It's not going to be as big as you driving better. And I think that's, you know.
Okay. So now, think about it this way. You go and somebody fiddles with your engine, taps into the fuel line, adds this device, right? What does it do to your warranty of your car? Because I can promise you that unless it's OEM endorsed, you're going to void your warranty immediately. If you add any device to your car, you're going to void the warranty. It's a massive safety hazard. Tap into that fuel line and somebody doesn't do it properly. Now, what if you get fuel squirting out a hot engine bay into a hot engine bay? It's going to potentially set alight. So you've got to be careful.
There's going to be other implications with regards to, you know, it may still do its proven or its intended purpose, but it may also start impacting other components of your engine. And I think that's also important too.
Which then voids the warranty.
100%. And I think that's definitely something to keep in mind. Now, according to Caltex, they have actually done some numbers and some testing with regards to how you can actually, proven methods, according to them, of how you can.
Caltex, fuel company?
Yes, fuel company.
Oil fuel company?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they've basically released 12 tips of how to get the best fuel economy in your vehicle. But do you know what's your best fuel? Just changing behavior?
In my humble opinion, the best way to save fuel is don't use it in the first place. Get an electric car. Okay. But besides that.
Propaganda.
Besides that. Yeah. Okay. I think the next best way to save fuel is your driving style.
Yeah.
I've said it for now weeks on end.
Yeah.
Is take your foot off the gas.
Yeah.
Pedal. Way before you need to stop. Let the car's energy dissipate without touching the brake pedal as much as possible. Be careful. Don't not touch the brake. You've got to stop. But just your driving style. Take it easy. Let the car coast to a stop. When you pull away, don't accelerate quickly unless you have to. Overtaking maneuvers, those kinds of things. And drive the car evenly and smoothly, that is going to, 9 times out of 10, be your best fuel saver.
It's going to be boring, but it's, you know, you'll save some fuel.
Well, now and again, you can gun it and you know, use the power of your car. But if you're really kind of under pressure to save fuel, these things are going to cost you more than your driving style, in my opinion.
Agreed. So the first one that Kalsik said is keep it in shape. So essentially, you just make sure that you are, you know, checking your car on a regular basis to make sure that it's
okay. So this is a maintenance thing. This is not adding anything to your car.
Not adding anything, 100%. So the next one is air conditioning. So air conditioning, listen to this, reduces your fuel economy by as much as 0.43 kilometers per liter, which is quite interesting.
Okay, which is 3%.
Yes, and underinflated tires by as much as 3%.
Yeah, so I think the combination of these little things could be...
Now we're starting to add incremental value.
Yes.
Yes, I definitely agree.
But none of them are additives or devices.
Yeah.
And for an oil company...
Yes.
Or a fuel company...
To come out and tell you about
this. To come out and say, don't use this wonderful product. That's not what they're saying. I'm not saying they're saying don't use it, but they're not coming out with some product...
It's not a sales pitch. Right?
It's not a sales pitch of a product, which means that it's already in their product.
Yes. Yes, I definitely agree. Third thing you can do is manage the tear. So replacing spark plugs, timing belts, hoses, filters, making sure that the entire vehicle is working well.
Optimally,
I think is the more correct term. Next is inspecting your air filters. So removing any debris from air that's entering the process of the combustion process of your vehicle. That's
service regularly.
Yeah, it's going to definitely improve your economy. Watching any dirt, so cleaning your air filters, once again, service the car, make sure that all the parts are
So here's an interesting one.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you know what drag coefficient is?
Yes.
Okay. So drag coefficient plays a big part in an electric vehicle's economy.
Mm.
Massive part.
It's one of the biggest contributors to range
yeah. is drag coefficient,
yeah.
size battery and all that stuff. Because, I mean, most EVs that I've driven use approximately 22 to 26 kilowatt hours per 100 kilometers.
Mm.
Okay. It doesn't vary very much outside of that. Drag coefficient makes that number lower or higher.
Okay.
So, and I don't know the answer to this.
Okay.
How much does a dirty car versus a polished car change the drag coefficient? I think it's an interesting one to Google, to be honest.
I think it'll be so marginal. I honestly think it'll be so marginal. Unless it's like muddy with like, you know, chunky, I don't think it's going to be that increment.
How much does a dirty car
slow you down?
Drag coefficient.
It can't be anything more than.
Wait, I'm just going to get an answer to this.
No,
this is interesting.
I don't think it's
Cars are constantly redesigned to reduce drag. Yeah, we know that. Is a dirty car more aerodynamic? Less aerodynamic, should I say. When it comes to aerodynamics, a waxed or clean car will allow air to flow across. Yeah, we know that already.
Yeah.
A dirty car limits the amount of airflow, causing increased friction. Clean car equals better miles per gas.
That's not a number. That is.
Wait, I'm trying to get to the answer here. because it does a dirty car mean that your car is less efficient?
I'm sure it adds up, for sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it adds up. I think we should look into, getting an answer to that question. Does drag coefficient get affected? Drag coefficient in a typical car, is about 0.35. If you open the windows, no, that's driving with windows open. Now, that's another fuel saving thing: is don't drive with the windows open.
Yeah.
Let's try to get to the answer to this. Like, how much does having a dirty car change the drag coefficient of the car? How much fuel could you save if you just polished your car?
If you just kept it clean,
yes.
How much could you save? Yeah. We'll definitely get the answer to that.
All right, so we were into Caltex's list of
So number six, which I found really interesting. So if you decrease your freeway speed by 288.5 kilometers per hour, so instead of going 120, you're going 88.5. Very specific number.
Hold on. Wait. This is interesting. This is very interesting.
Okay.
I just had to confirm it quickly.
Yes.
You know the DeLorean?
Yes.
Okay.
Back to the future car. Yes.
What speed did it need to reach to time travel?
I have no idea.
88 miles per hour.
Really?
No, this is 88 kilometers per hour.
But I
thought this 88 just meant something. Anyway, 88 miles per hour to get the DeLorean to time travel. So,
if you go 88.5, you essentially increase your fuel economy by up to 20%, which was really interesting for me to find out.
20%?
20%. Up to 20% more better fuel economy.
Versus driving faster.
Yes. Very specific number. But now you know, if you want to increase by up to 20%, instead of going 120, just go 88.5 and you could be saving yourself quite a bit.
The next one's interesting. Quick acceleration,
mm-hmm.
you can save 33% if you don't accelerate fast.
Yeah.
I think it's more about the deceleration than it is about the acceleration.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you get, then you've got to slow down.
Yeah.
But Caltex reckons 33% saving if you don't accelerate quickly.
100%. Then planning ahead. So starting, stopping and idling. Kind of anticipating traffic. Kind of anticipating when you're going to be braking.
Here's another question.
Coasting through the robots.
Coasting again.
Mm.
Modern cars today have that automatic shut off when you stop at a traffic light.
Yes, I turn mine off. Yeah.
You don't like it.
Mm.
Does that save you fuel?
I think that's an ignition device.
Yes. No, but does it save you fuel?
It's claim to fame is you'll save fuel.
Because then the advice would be don't turn it off.
It's the same with the geyser conversation. You know, a lot of people say that if you turn it on and off. I did a test. So I used to, for about 2 years, turn my geyser on and off. Then I read an article by Eskom saying if you do that, it doesn't necessarily save you much. It's very marginal. And then I've been using that for the last 2 months. I've been just leaving it on. And I think I've paid an extra like 150 Rand. But the convenience is worth so much more. And I think this is one of those scenarios where on and off, is it going to be a big difference?
Get a solar doubt geyser, it. Like get an electric car.
The propaganda continues. Okay, number 9, travel light. So any extra weight is going to naturally cause you to use more fuel. You need more fuel to move all of that weight.
Get into the gym.
Exactly. So travel lights, lose a kg or two and you might be able to save a little bit.
Yeah, again, I'm not so sure that this is the big saver, yeah.
2% claimed by Caltex if you reduce
for every 45 kilos. Yeah. I'm not sure the average person could lose 45. You lose 45 kilos, you
I'll
won't be
not there. Be, yeah, I'll completely just disintegrate. Then reduce your revving. So if you drive a manual car, choose the gear with the lowest RPM. By doing so, you know.
Gear with the lowest RPM is the highest gear. So if you change through your gears quickly is, yeah, I suppose, the trick, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Don't get the revs up too much.
Mm. Yeah. But then you're going to be driving really slowly, trying to get to speed at least. Then avoid idling. So, just don't idle your car for too long. This could be one of those ignition devices claim. And then lastly, share the load. So carpool, big one. That's going to be, drive your car, essentially.
Well, that's in the principle that I was talking about.
Yeah.
You don't want to use fuel, don't drive. Don't drive.
No, yeah.
Exactly.
For sure. Is there anything else that you'd recommend?
No.
That's it.
Get an EV.
Get an EV. Of course, that's that's probably the best way to not
use fuel.
Well,
you are using fuel because the trucks that transport the EVs, that transport all the materials, the cobalt, the lithium, all of that stuff uses fuel, right?
For sure.
But the end consumer doesn't use it.
100%. That's basically everything that we have time for. Thank you so much for another episode, George. We'll catch you guys next week.
Spot on. Go Leclerc.
Go Hamilton. Always.